We read from 2 Samuel in chapter 22, in which David sings a song unto his Lord, following his victory over all his enemies. In the 21st chapter, we read of the death of Saul and also of Jonathan. In the preceding chapters, we read of the victories given unto David. And David sings this great song unto his God, which forms the 18th psalm. So if you read through, it's largely identical in wording to what is in 2 Samuel in chapter 22. Psalm 18 is entitled, "To the Chief Musician, a Psalm of David, the Servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." This psalm and this song, as recorded in 2 Samuel 22, is a great outpouring of David's praise unto his God for his deliverance from his enemies. It's one of the longest psalms, and it is so because David is so triumphant and thankful and relieved in the victory that God has given him, that his emotions roll forth and the words that God puts upon his lips flow forth in praise and adoration of his God. Out comes this vivid description of the place where David had been, of the trial, of the suffering, of the tumult. How close to death David had been, what he had been put through, what his enemies had done to him. But in the end, his cries unto his God from the depths were heard and were answered, and his God gave him victory. And he can't hold back his praise of his God. So triumphant was that victory. So wonderful was that victory. He can't hold it back. It burst forth from his lips. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Oh, what triumph and oh, what praise. And you will only really understand David's sentiments here. You will only really empathize with him and enter into these things if you've been somewhere like he's been. If you know what it is to be in the trial in which he has endured. If you know what it is to be granted victory over the enemy that David was granted victory over. If you don't know what he suffered, and if you don't know the victory that he saw in the end, then these words are but words to you. You may understand them a little. You may understand them in relation to David. You may read the accounts of David's life and see why he would have written these things. You may understand them in some small measure regarding some small trial in your life. But really, they're just words to you. You need to have been where he's been. Now, the child of God, in greater or lesser measure, will know much of what David writes. This year, 2015, has marked the 70th anniversaries of the victory in Europe and the victory in Japan, and there have been various events and commemorations in which the nations have been reminded and been thankful of that victory that they were granted at the end of the Second World War, both in Europe and in Japan. And we look back as nations thankful for the peace that we've been granted for the many years since. But we can look back in our generation upon the history and read about it and know something of it. But really, for those of us who weren't there at the time, those of us younger than 70 years, those of us who didn't take part, it's hard to understand the joy and the jubilation that must have been felt by the people of that day. When victory was announced in Europe over the tyranny of Hitler, and the end of 6 years of warfare that engulfed not just Europe, but Africa and America and the Far East, practically the whole world, truly a war that affected the whole world. When that 6 years came to an end, firstly in Europe and then finally in Japan, the relief, the joy, the emotions that must have been felt by the people of that day were immense. They had lived on a daily, a weekly, a monthly, a yearly basis with daily fear. They did not know whether they would be alive the next day. They did not know whether their sons, their daughters, their loved ones would be alive. Every day reports were sent home of those who had fallen in battle. Every day there were reports of those civilians who were bombed and killed. Even the people in England, away from the front line of battle, knew what fear was, knew what their enemy was doing to them. They went to bed at night when they should have been able to sleep, deprived of sleep because of the drone of bombers coming overhead, and they did not know whether they would be alive the next morning or who might have been destroyed. They woke up to find neighbours had had their houses bombed. Friends were gone. They knew what war was. They knew what suffering was. They knew what fear was. And they had to endure months and years of trying to live normally, in some sense, trying to go about their normal business when all of this was going on. Millions died. Millions. It's hard to fathom, hard to comprehend. But those who were there knew. And when victory was announced, the outpouring of emotion, of relief, of joy, of celebration, of sorrow at the loss that had passed. The mixtures of emotion for the people in that day were immense. Immense. But that is just a picture of what David writes of here. David knew what they knew. David knew what it was to be at war. David knew what it was to see friends slain. David knew what it was to go to bed at night and not know if he'd see the morning. David knew what sorrow was, what tragedy was, what loss was, what bereavement was. And David also knew what victory was. He knew what it was to be delivered from his enemies. And the joy springs forth from his heart in this psalm. Those years are over. Those battles are past. Those enemies are destroyed. Do you know what David knew? Can you praise as David praises? Do you know the God whom David describes? When you pray to your God, does your heart flow over in praise of that God in the way David's does? Is your God your rock, your fortress, your deliverer, your strength, the one in whom you trust, your buckler, the horn of your salvation, your high tower? Would you describe him like that? Do you feel him to be that to you? Is he the fortress in whom you hide, your high tower? Is he the one in whom you shelter? Is he the one in whom you hide? When trouble comes your way, do you flee to your God in prayer and hide in him? Do you hide yourself under his wings? Is he your place of refuge? Is he your strength? Or do you rely on some other strength? You may say he's your strength. But when troubles come your way, when trials come your way, do you resort to your own strength? Or do you resort to the strength of man? Or the strength of the law? Do you resort to some other strength? Or has God, as he did with David, broken you and brought you to that point where you know that you have no strength? And all your strength is in God. As I said to many, these words in Psalm 18 are but words. You can try to attain to them. You can pay lip service to them. You can read David's description of God and say, yes, that's the God I worship. But is it true? Well, the child of God knows something of this. The child of God knows something of the great cry of victory, the great rejoicing, the great outpouring of emotion that he has been delivered from his enemies, because he knows what it is to be at war. He knows what it is to endure. He's been put through a passageway that goes on and on and on, where his enemy seems to prevail upon him, where he feels that he's got no strength to stand against his enemy, where his enemy appears to have the victory. The easy believer knows nothing of this. Most religion, most of what calls itself Christianity, presents a gospel to those who aren't that bothered about whether they are saved or not, which presents everything so easily. It calls people to receive a saviour, to accept Jesus into their hearts. If they want a better life, if they want to go to heaven, if they want friends, if they want peace. And for so many, their salvation and their profession of salvation is so simple. Oh, I was a little troubled in my life. I was searching for something else. I was invited to a meeting. I heard about Jesus and I called upon him and I became saved. And it's so easy. And they can't cry out and burst forth in joy as David did, because they never really went to the depths that David did. They speak of being saved, but there's very little from which they're truly saved. They were never slain. They were never brought down into the grave. They were never broken. They never really knew despair. They never saw their sins flowing over their head like deep waters in which they would drown. They never felt the judgment of God sounding against them. They were never brought to fear and to cry and to feel like they were lost and to feel like there's no hope and to feel like there's nothing they could do. Their Saviour was one that just came along breezily in their happy life, said, "Follow me," and off they went. And it was so simple, so easy. But their love for him is so light, so weak, so changeable, because they've never truly been saved. What were they saved from? A little misery in life. Things not going quite so well as they would have liked. A bit of loneliness. Brought into a church, so-called, where they have some friends and family. People actually give them a bit of time. Oh, they've been saved from a bit of loneliness in this world. Like others in the world might be saved from that loneliness by going to a bar or going to a club or to joining this club or that club or this group or that group. Oh, they found a few friends. But they've not been saved from sin. And they've not been saved from death. And they've not been saved from that knowledge of the wrath of God that would judge their sins and cast them into hell. What have you been saved from? What do you know of the sorrows of death which compassed David? David writes, "The sorrows of death compass me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compass me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." The child of God knows something of the sorrows of death. He knows something of the sorrows that sin and death bring upon his soul. He's brought to know, as the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and applies it to him, he's brought to know that he's a sinner. He's brought to know that in his heart there dwells no good thing, that in him there is but sin. He's brought to know that evil sewer of his own heart, out of which flow imaginations and thoughts and words and actions and deeds which are only evil continually. And he's brought to know that there is a God before whom one day he must stand. He's brought to know that he has enemies. And not just enemies in the world, not just enemies of other people, but that he has enemies within. He's brought to know that his own heart is an enemy which slays him. That the sin within is an enemy. That the death which he feels in his flesh and which he knows will await him is a great enemy before whom he has no strength, against whom he cannot stand. He's brought to know that he has an enemy called Satan, the devil, the serpent, who whispers in his ear every day, who leads him astray, who seeks to devour him. He knows enemies. He knows warfare. And he knows the sorrows of death and the sorrows of hell which compass him about. And when he reads the words of David, he can say, I've been there. I know that. This is why I cried unto God. Are you there? Have you been there? If you're there, under whom are you crying? Where do you look for strength? Where do you go for hope? There's no strength in man. There's no hope in the religion of this world. There's no salvation through your works. David cried unto his God. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. That's whom he cried unto. There was no one else to cry to. There was no point in crying unto anyone else. There was no hope in anyone else. In his distress he called upon the Lord. Are you distressed? Has sin brought you down? Have the sorrows of death compassed you about? Do you know your sin? Do you know the wrath of God against your sin? Do you know that you're dying and that judgment will be upon you? And that you cannot stand against that judgment? Then cry in your distress. Call upon the Lord. For only he can deliver you from your enemy, as he delivered David. Yes, the child of God knows where David's been. And the child of God, when he cries, and when he's heard, and when he's delivered, knows like David what it is to shout out in joy, to cry forth in praise and adoration. He knows what it is to be overcome by emotion, that those months, those years of warfare have finally come to an end, that his enemy has been conquered, that his God has delivered him from his sin, that his Saviour has blotted out his sins. That his Saviour has paid the price and set him free. He knows what it is to be spared death and to know he's been spared death. He knows what it is to burst forth in praise unto that one upon whom he's called. Unto that one in whom he's hid. Unto that one who has proved himself to be his rock, his fortress, his deliverer. He knows what it is to burst forth in praise to the chief musician. The psalm is entitled "To the Chief Musician, a Psalm of David, the Servant of the Lord." David cries out to the chief musician, his God, as his servant. He knows that his God has delivered his servant from his sins. These opening three verses give us such an outpouring of the heart of David, an outpouring of praise. David opens, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength," and goes on to say, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Now essentially he describes his God in seven distinct ways. He's his rock, his fortress, his deliverer, his God, his strength, his buckler, the horn of his salvation, his high tower. Oh, what perfect praise to a perfect Saviour. What an outpouring of praise. Can you speak in that way? Well, it's because of what he was delivered from. It's because of what he endured that David could cry out in such adoration. The psalm in its first half, from verse 4 through to about verse 29, gives a wonderful depiction, firstly of the sorrows and the trials which David endured, which are common in measure to all the children of God, but particularly in type and figure of the suffering of Christ, especially upon the cross. Such a vivid picture is painted here. Such a vivid picture. There's poetry here. "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth." Oh, what a description of the outpouring of God's wrath. When Christ in the darkness, nailed to the cross, took the sins of his people, and God the Father looked upon his Son as the sacrifice and saw their sins and saw their sin, and his wrath came forth in judgment and poured out in fire upon his Son. Oh, what a description of what it was, of what it felt like, of the force and the power. "Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet." There was darkness over all the face of the earth, from about the sixth hour until the ninth hour. "And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him. were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. And he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of water were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands have he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God, for all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Oh, what vivid pictures, both of the judgment and the wrath of God which poured out upon Christ in the darkness of the cross, and of the salvation and the deliverance and the rising power of Christ as God lifted him up after that judgment, because Christ was righteous. He endured the wrath. He bore the judgment and the fires of God against the sins of his people. And when those sins had been judged, when they had been blotted out, when the price had been paid, when the fires were quenched, when the wrath of God had been appeased, when it was finished, then God looked upon his Son and rewarded him according to his righteousness, because he stood there, slain as a sacrifice, with no sin. The dross had been burnt away. The sin had been judged. It had been blotted out, and all that remained was a perfect Saviour who had always obeyed, who had always loved, who had always been upright, who always had clean hands, who was full of righteousness. And God lifted him up. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. And David, with his Saviour, knew what it was to go through those waters, knew what it was to have an enemy, and knew what it was to be taken by his God and drawn out of many waters. The earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. The coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. That's what Christ rode through in the darkness upon the cross. And O sinner, you who shut your ears at the gospel, you who laugh and scoff, you who close your eyes, you who dismiss this message, this Saviour, this psalm, this truth, this God, that's what you will endure in eternity to come if you go to your grave in this state. You can laugh now. You can mock now. You can shut your ears now. But one day, you will know what it is to see the wrath of God kindled and the darkness all around and the Lord thundering in the heavens and the highest given his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. You'll know the arrows. You'll know the lightnings. You'll know the channels of water. You'll know the foundations of the world beneath you shaken. You'll know the blast of the breath of his nostrils. You'll know as he knew. You'll know because you weren't it. You'll know because you deserved it. You'll know because you chose it. He knew because he loved those who hated him. He knew because he said of them, "Punish me rather than them." He knew because he offered himself in their place. He knew because he loved David and said, though David's a sinner, though he hated me by nature, though he's without strength, though he has a wicked heart, punish me for what David's done, and I will wash him clean. And he will be mine. And he will rise with me. We will rise together out of the darkness, out of the waters, out of the sorrows of death, out of the sorrows of hell, out of this distress, out of the grasp of the enemy, out of the gaze of all David's enemies. We will rise together victorious and perfect and righteous. And we will enter the gates of glory to come in victory as mighty warriors who have gone to battle and conquered and return home bloodied and bruised and beaten, but victorious. Lay David's sins upon me. Lay the sins of my people upon me, he said. And God laid them upon him. And God's wrath poured down upon him, and he went through the darkness. The sorrows of death compassed him. The sorrows of hell compassed him. In his distress he called upon the Lord and cried unto his God, and his God heard him out of his temple, and his cry came before him even into his ears. But the judgment came down, and the price was paid, and Christ died for his church, for his bride, for his people, because he loved them and gave himself for them. Did he love you? Did he give himself for you? Have you waded through these waters with him? Have you seen him rise? Do you cry out with David in praise and adoration of a Saviour who has delivered you from your sin, delivered you from death, delivered you from Satan's grip, delivered you from all your enemies, and brought you into a large place? With the merciful thou wilt show thyself mercy. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. For thou wilt save the afflicted people. Has he delivered you? Has he delivered you? Having described in such vivid terms the sufferings of Christ and his own sufferings, David turns again in praise to God. Verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet, for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued unto me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. He turns in praise to his God. He speaks of how wonderful his God is, what his God has done for him, and the salvation that God has given him over his enemies. And he speaks of the wonderful grace of God which wrought that salvation. Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thy gentleness hath made me great. God's love, God's mercy, God's long-suffering, God's grace made David great. When David doubted, God loved him. When David turned, God loved him. When David was a fool, God loved him. When David sinned, God still loved him. When David knew the grief and the agony of the great sin that he had wrought and the separation it brought in between he and his God, God was gentle with him. He deserved God's wrath. He deserved to be cast out. Yet God loved him. And God took David's sins and judged them in another. God was gracious with him. Do you know this gentleness and this grace of Almighty God? Has he delivered you from your enemies through grace, through love, through mercy? David rises up at the end of the psalm. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. Great deliverance giveth he to the king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. Oh, David loved his God, because David knew what sorrow was. David knew what war was. David knew what enemies were. David knew what tragedy was. David knew what his sin was. David knew what the judgment and wrath of God was. David knew what death was. David knew what calamity was. And David knew what deliverance was. Great deliverance giveth he to his king. He gave it to Christ. Christ was David's king, of whom David the king was a picture. Christ suffered for David, of whom David's sufferings were but a picture. Christ delivered him from his enemies. Christ was the anointed. And God showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. Are you one of the seed of David? The seed of David was Christ. All God's people chosen in Christ are his seed. Are you amongst that seed? Are you amongst that people? Did Christ, the King, the Anointed, God's Son, God's Saviour, the sacrifice, did Christ die for you? Did he enter into the sorrows of death for you? Did he enter into the sorrows of hell for you? Did he in his distress call upon the Lord and cry unto the Lord for you? Was he heard for you? Did he cry out, "It is finished," for you? Did he endure because he set his love upon you? Did he bear your sins? Did he deliver you from your enemies? Did he take away your sin? Did he take away your death? Did he take away destruction? Did he cast down Satan? Did he overcome every foe, every enemy? Will he lead you through the gates of the heavenly city into a heavenly kingdom upon his horse, all splattered in blood, but victorious? Will he lead you in to that wonderful city to come? And will you rejoice with him and all his people, David included, saying, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I, and so have I been saved from mine enemies. Amen.